This is Geek News Central. My name is Kirk Corliss, filling in for Todd Cochran. Coming up, a Facebook whistleblower speaks out on 60 Minutes. Behind-the-scene workers in entertainment vote to go on strike, and Captain Kirk is headed to go out of this world. Those stories and more are coming up. I want to welcome you to episode 1559. Of the Geek News Central podcast from Monday, October 4th, 2021. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. I want to give a big warm welcome to all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for staying subscribed. Also want to give a big warm welcome to the new listeners to the podcast. And if you are a new listener to this podcast, we would like you to head on over to geeknewscentral.com, where you can find on the right hand side column, you can please be sure to subscribe to the podcast, where be it Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Further down on the right-hand side is the newsletter. We can click on a link on the newsletter. The newsletter contains all the show notes that are going to be discussed in this podcast. Also, if you have comments or want to say hi, I would love to hear from all of you. My email address is pa@geeknewscentral.com. I'm also on Twitter at Kirk Corliss, which is spelled K-I-R-K-C-O-R-L-E-S-S. Also, join us at geeknews.chat. And also, be sure to like and follow on the Geek News Central Facebook page. Partner shows include GNC Week in Review, hosted by myself and Scott Ertz. The Gadget Professor with Don Bain, the Pro Gear site written by the GNC team. And also the New Media Show, hosted by Todd and Rob Greenlee. This show would not be possible without our good friends which is GoDaddy, who is the longest running continuous sponsor of podcast. Over on GoDaddy, get all of your GoDaddy products and services over on geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So let's say you want to have a website started, or a blog, or you want to have a podcast like this podcast. There are some great deals that can be found on the site, and also the promo codes will save you significant money. So you have 30% off on new product purchases, $4.99.com new or transfer for new customers, $1 a month economy hosting the first year with a free domain, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting first year with a free domain, or a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans for 1 month. So why should you support the podcast? Well, the podcast, your support helps keep this podcast online and the independent writing team employed. You are supporting a small team of independent content creators by using one of our promo codes. You'll support us in that effort. Thank you all so much for your support. Share these codes with your friends, family, people that you know. Also, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and get all the latest tech news. GoDaddy.com has helped tens of thousands of our listeners save thousands of dollars each month with our non-expiring promo codes. You can receive significant savings. These promo codes are the best value available. Plus, you're helping us out by sharing them with your friends, family, and also people that you know. So thank you so much for GoDaddy for all your continuous support for this podcast over, and definitely check it out, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, as I mentioned at the top, I'm filling in for Todd while he's away on travel to see his family in Hawaii. I will be with you for this episode. And also for Thursday's episode, he'll be back a week from today, which would be Monday, October 11th. So definitely happy to be here with you all. Also, if you have not caught the podcast awards last night, and congratulations to all the winners and also the nominees on their individual podcasts. Some great podcasts out there you can definitely check out. So definitely check out podcast.com for all the nominees, the winners, their podcasts. Definitely some great, interesting podcasts are out there in different categories to select and choose from. So definitely check that out. Also, big congratulations to Todd. He is celebrating 17 years as a podcaster. Started October 4th of 2004. And this is at episode 1559 for this episode. My podcast, I've been doing for 3 years. I'm getting close to episode 100. So a huge accomplishment, on making this far. And it's awesome that he's, putting this podcast out for you all each Monday and Thursday. I'm happy to be a part of it as well. Must looking forward to, this coming, got the email invite. A lot of the press got their email invites and registration for CES for next year, for CES 2022. I'm so excited. Got the room booked, flight booked. I'm ready to go. So expect a lot to hear from us on what's going to be happening in January. It's the first week in January. Going to be a lot of fun, and definitely tune in. Definitely we'll keep apprised on what's going to happen next few months. But also with my podcast, GNC Week in Review, my podcast, is Friday evenings at 8 PM Eastern time, gncweekly.com/live. Also you can please be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We look forward to breakdown of all the week's tech news that has occurred over the past week. So let's dive in with the tech news for this Monday. And we all know the tales of woe from Facebook and everything's been happening, and with the Wall Street Journal reporting about the Facebook has been conducting studies into how its photo sharing app is affecting millions of young users. Repeatedly, the company's researchers found that Instagram is harmful for a sizable percentage of them, most notably teenage girls. Now there's a whistleblower that has spoken out about it on 60 Minutes last night. And the also reporting that about how allowing VIPs to also break its rules, and it was aware of how Instagram affected the mental health of teens. So the whistleblower who brought that information to light has revealed itself as Frances Haugen, or Haugen, H-A-U-G-E-M, in an interview with 60 Minutes last night. She told 60 Minutes, quote, "I've seen a bunch of social networks, and it was substantially worse at Facebook than what I've seen before. Facebook over and over again has shown it chooses profit over safety." She joined Facebook in 2019, working on democracy and misinformation issues while also handling counter-espionage, according to a personal website and a Twitter account she and her team set up. She worked as a Facebook product manager and left the company in May of this year. She also filed a whistleblower complaint with the Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC, accusing Facebook of taking internal actions that didn't match its public statements. In the SEC complaint, she compared Facebook's internal research and documents to public statements and disclosures made by CEO Mark Zuckerberg and other executives. In one example, she said that Facebook contributed to election misinformation and a January 6th U.S. Capitol insurrection. Excuse me, taking a drink. She writes in a cover letter on a subject, quote, "Facebook has publicized its work to combat misinformation and violent extremism relating to the 2020 election and insurrection. In reality, Facebook's newest algorithms and platforms promoted this type of harmful content, and it failed to deploy internally recommended or lasting countermeasures." Excuse me, VP for Policy and Global Affairs, Nick Clegg, told CNN that the accusations are, quote, misleading. That also Facebook represented, quote, "the good, the bad, and ugly of humanity. And it was trying to mitigate, quote, mitigate the bad, reduce it, and amplify the good." He added that it was, quote, "ludicrous to blame January 6th on social media." In a statement to Engadget, Facebook spokesperson Lena Peach said the, quote, "segment also disregards the significant investments we made to keep people safe on the platform. To suggest we encourage bad content and do nothing is not just true." The company also pushed back against any claims it was misleading the public or regulators. She continues, quote, "we stand by our public statements and are ready to answer questions regulators may have out of work." Facebook says, Hagen said she wants to help fix Facebook, not to take it down. She says on the interview, quote, the path forward is about transparency and governance. It's not about breaking up Facebook. Hagen is set to testify in Congress about issues surrounding Facebook's impact on young users tomorrow. On Tuesday, December 5th. So good on her to speak out and call out Facebook on all this, as my windscreen just popped off. I apologize. Put it back on there. There we go. Okay. Good on her for speaking out, and Facebook should be transparent on everything that they do. Not just these documents, but, you know, about their algorithm and things of that nature. So definitely, she should be applauded, not condemned. So I give her a lot of kudos, and hopefully more and more will come out and will speak out about it. Meanwhile, less than 12 to 24 hours later, Alan, who is a staff writer from GeekNewsHunter.com, was reporting that both Facebook and Instagram was down in the United States, and reports that there was an outage in Europe. So the first update was reported earlier this afternoon, was while the service is down right now, is running fine again. Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, and WhatsApp remain completely down. Then later in the afternoon, per at the Inside Paper, quote, Facebook's DNS problem is actually affecting the internet. DNS providers are being hammered with queries. The service has been communicating with users via Twitter. There are also rumors that internal systems are down and that workers are communicating with one another via Outlook email. And now, as of this recording, Facebook is back. However, it's rolling it back to its users slowly. So this may be a coincidence. Last night, this interview comes out weeks before. This interview comes out, and then not even 12 to 24 hours later, Facebook is down, Instagram is down. So, I don't know if it's a coincidence, and I imagine there's going to be a lot of conspiracies running about that. So, so throw those conspiracies out there. All right. Other news this Monday. Members of the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, or IATSE, have voted to authorize Union President Matthew Loeb to call a strike. The group announced this today. .LA is saying that the decision could lead to the most significant industry walkout since World War II, should negotiations with a powerful trade group remain deadlocked. 53,411 behind-the-scenes workers in entertainment participated in the vote, and more than 98% of those voters supported the strike authorization. This is from the union who announced this. Quote, the members have spoken loud and clear. Mr. Loeb said in a press release, this vote is about the quality of life as well as the health and safety of those who work in the film and television industry. The vote be used as a bargaining chip in ongoing talks with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, or AMPTP, which represents Disney, Apple, AT&T, and other giants in entertainment and tech. John Lindley, president of the International Cinematographers Guild, sent a message to IATSE local 600 members on Monday, quote, every single local that voted far exceeded the 75% threshold for strike authorization. We are now scheduled to return to table tomorrow, October 5th, to hear from employers. Now, for those who don't know, IATSE consists of camera technicians, editors, makeup artists, location managers, and a host of other workers in entertainment. In negotiations for a new contract, also known as a basic agreement, IATSE representatives have pressed for, quote, meals and breaks during the day, rest periods between shifts and on the weekends, a living wage for the lowest paid people, and some appropriate adjustments to new media streaming based on its maturity. But talks have stalled for weeks on a number of issues, from raising the wage floor to funding IATSE members' pensions through a greater cut of streaming profits. While IATSE has yet declared a strike, the AMPTP warned last month that a walkout would, quote, have a devastating impact on the industry, and and inevitably will result in thousands of IATSE members losing their income, failing to qualify for health insurance benefits, jeopardizing funding for the pension plan, and disrupting production, which means that if they go out on strike and all the episodes you're watching on NBC, CBS, Fox, any of the series that are on Amazon or Netflix, you're going to be watching repeats for a good while. So hopefully things come to a head. Hopefully they'll come to an agreement, because with things, I guess, maybe coming back to normal, and I don't know if things will come back to normal soon, anytime soon, but hopefully things will get better, and hopefully they will come out with a fair deal for everyone. Blue Origin is launching William Shatner, better known as Captain Kirk of the USS Enterprise, to space on the company's new Shepard rocket. At 90 years old, he'll become the oldest person to fly to space, surpassing legendary aviator Wally Funk, who flew on the first crewed flight of New Shepard this summer. TMC first broke the news that Shatner will be flying on the next New Shepard flight, which is currently scheduled for October 12th, out of Blue Origin's launch pad facility in West Texas. The outlet claimed that that Shatner's flight will be filmed as part of a documentary. Shatner will be joined by two other customers announced early by Blue Origin. Chris Bojusin, a former NASA engineer who co-founded a small satellite company, Planet Labs, and Glenn DeVries, the co-founder of software company Metadata and vice chair of life sciences at Dassault Systems, a French software company. Blue Origin also announced today that Audrey Powers, the company's vice president of mission and flight operations, will become the fourth passenger on a flight. This will be the second flight of New Shepard to carry people to the edge of space and back, as Blue Origin transitions into regular commercial flights of its suborbital rocket. Excuse me. The New Shepard rocket is designed to launch vertically from Earth, carrying up to four passengers and a crew capsule on top, and then climbs above an altitude of roughly 62 miles over the Earth, where the planet's thin atmosphere gives way to the vacuum of space. While in the sky, the capsule and the rocket separate, and the passengers inside feel a brief few minutes of weightlessness. Both parts of the vehicle fall back to Earth. The rocket lands upright after reigniting its main engine, and the capsule lands under three main parachutes. All in all, the flight lasts about 11 minutes from liftoff to capsule touchdown. Very cool, and that's awesome. We don't know how much they all paid for these flights, so that'll probably be forthcoming, maybe, but we'll see. Netflix has established a $5.4 million scholarship in Chadwick Boseman's name at Howard University. The Chadwick A. Boseman Memorial Scholarship, announced Monday, covers the full cost of the university's tuition for fine arts students. The lead actor, who graduated from Howard University in 2000, died from colon cancer last year. The university this fall is awarding the first four scholarships of one member of each current class, after which it will go to one incoming freshman each year. The Chadwick Boseman Scholarship will focus on students who exemplify exceptional skills in the arts, demonstrate leadership, respect, empathy, passion, and excellence, and require financial need. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of the Howard University, said in a statement, quote, "It is with immense pleasure and deep gratitude that we announce the creation of an endowed scholarship in honor of alumnus Chadwick Boseman. This scholarship embodies Chadwick's love for Howard, his passion for storytelling, and his willingness to support future generations of Howard students." Netflix co-CEO and chief content officer Ted Sarandos said that the streaming service, is thankful to Boseman's family and the university's partners, and he spoke highly of the actor. He said in a statement, quote, "While he was taken from us too soon, his spirit is with us always in his work and the good they inspired. He always spoke of his time at Howard and the positive way it shaped his life and career. Positive way it shaped his life and career. Now we'll have the opportunity to give future to give the oh man, I'm getting tongue tied to give many future superheroes a chance to experience the same. Very awesome. Very, very awesome. In November of 2020, Google announced it'll be offering mobile-optimized bank accounts called, quote, Plex accounts in partnership with Citigroup and the Stanford Federal Credit Union. Now the company is pulling back on its plan, saying logistical setbacks and departure of executive sponsor are to blame. Plex accounts were originally intended to be simplified bank accounts focused on the mobile experience. User will be able to sync the account with Google Play and wouldn't be subject to monthly or overdraft fees. In an effort to improve financial literacy and wellness, Google planned on implementing a budgeting dashboard that helped users on how they spent and saved their money. It was the company's next stab at truly on-the-go banking, popularizing most recently by its own mobile payment system, as well as Apple Pay and Apple Card. Former Google Vice President and General Manager of Google Payments, Cesar Semgupta, said last year, quote, we are looking to make banking more relevant for a mobile first generation. He was spearheaded the Plex project and led the company's Next Billion Users initiative, which seeks to make the internet more accessible to people worldwide. Google was on track to begin opening accounts in 2021, after which will begin offering users the opportunity to sign up for a custom debit card run by MasterCard. However, COVID-19 threw a wrench in the works, resulting in several Plex delays and missed deadlines. Semgupta left earlier this year to start his own financial tech company. Arbo works and bought, and of course, he brought some of his Google colleagues with him. Though former PayPal executive and current Google president of commerce, Bill Ready, took over Plex, the project sparked seemingly left with Semgupta. A Google spokesperson told the Wall Street Journal on Friday that the company would be shifting, quote, delivering digital enablement from banks and other financial services providers rather than Google serving as a provider of these services. I was looking forward to Plex. I was interested, and of course, Google Pay is a good way to go for me. So hopefully things will turn. Maybe next go around a year or two, we'll probably see it. We'll stay tuned. Windows 11 is now available to download. Microsoft is launching Windows 11 powered hardware tomorrow, October 5th. The company has made the OS update available early for eligible devices in New Zealand and beyond. So if you purchased a Windows 10 machine recently, that means you should be able to upgrade to Windows 11 right now. For everyone else, the rollout of Windows 11 will be gradual. Microsoft says existing Windows 10 devices that are eligible for Windows 11 upgrade will start to be able to upgrade today, but it will mostly be new hardware that will receive the upgrade immediately. Microsoft is saying, quote, we expect all eligible Windows 10 devices to be offered the upgrade to Windows 11 by mid-2022. You can check to see if the Windows 11 upgrade is available in the Windows Update section in the Windows 10 settings area. Or you might be able to skip the queue and upgrade immediately using Microsoft's new installation assistant. So I haven't checked yet, but I'm kind of afraid because the last update, Windows 10, it crashed and I had to reboot and it's all over. So I'm going to wait and see, hold off on the update for me. So if you're going to test it out, download it. Like to know your thoughts on how things went. So give me, I'd love to hear from you at PA@geeknewscentral.com. T-Mobile and Google have announced they're offering a, quote, exclusive plan with 500 gigs of Google One cloud storage for T-Mobile customers starting October 12th. The plan will cost $5 a month. This is the latest addition in an ongoing partnership between Google and T-Mobile. Google offers Google One plans in a variety of sizes, but up until this point, did not have a 500 gig tier, jumping from 200 gig for $2.99 per month straight to 2 terabytes for $9.99 per month. Anyone with a Google account gets 15 gigs for free, but But it is reporting that T-Mobile's offer could work as a nice middle ground if you're starting to store more of your files in Google Drive and Google Photos. T-Mobile is also saying that the plan can be shared with up to five other people, whether or not they have T-Mobile accounts. T-Mobile and Google have first announced their partnership at the end of March of this year. For a set of still unenclosed financial terms, T-Mobile is agreeing to support Google's messaging standard of choice, which is RCS, offer Google's Android messages as the default messaging app, and push YouTube TV and YouTube Premium through a variety of different deals. At the time, neither company included a deal to push Google One as T-Mobile's official backup method for Android phones. But then, lo and behold, it's being reported on October 12th, T-Mobile will now have an option for that too. Customers can sign up for a Google One deal through T-Mobile. The company is saying that it'll offer a 30-day free trial before it starts charging $5 per month. This is a sad news story to report. A hospital that continued to admit patients during a ransomware attack has been sued over claims that a baby died after doctors and nurses failed to spot there was a problem due to networks being shut down. Nico Silar died after 6 months in intensive care after being born at Spring Hill Memorial Hospital with the umbilical cord wrapped around her neck. This is from there's documents being filed in the Alabama Circuit Court. The suit alleges that because the hospital has shut down key networks, staff were reduced to using paper records, internal staff messaging services were down, and fetal monitoring devices were severely affected. Nico's mother, Tirani Kidd, was never told that a hospital is having computer problems. This is a suit claiming from a suit. And would not have used the facility if she had known. According to screenshots of texts sent that are admitted as evidence in the suit, the attending obstetrician said that day, Caitlin Parnell told the nurse manager of the birth, quote, this is from the also from the Wall Street Journal reporting this, quote, I need you to help me understand why I was not notified. According to another screenshot submitted in the suit, she also reported she also told a colleague, quote, it just sucks, totally preventable. I know bad things happen. Sometimes you can't control it, but this was preventable. The hospital CEO told the journal that he had to keep the hospital admitting patients because they needed treatment, and the hospital doctors had deemed it safe to carry on operations. So this has something, we're going to keep an eye on this story. This is really sad that this happened, and definitely, you know, if there's problems, computer problems with it, the mom should have been told what happened, and a life such as his should not have been lost. So my condolences and my deepest prayers to the mother on her loss of her son. Despite ongoing supply chain woes, Tesla's delivery numbers were all fine and dandy in the third quarter of 2021 that's been reported. This weekend, Tesla announced it delivered a total of 241,000 cars from July through September. This is a new record for the company. And it's also surpassing Q2 when Tesla said delivered 201,250 vehicles. The vast majority of deliveries continue to come from the Model 3 and Model Y at a combined 232,025. Tesla does not issue separate figures for each vehicle. The refreshed Model S and Model X, meanwhile, made up 9,275 of deliveries this past quarter. Total production distinct from deliveries of the Model 3, Model Y, Model S, and Model X came in at 237,823 cars combined. Tesla thanked customers for their patience and has acknowledged continued supply chain and logistic issues. CEO Elon Musk took to Twitter to congratulate the Tesla team, as well as thank suppliers for, quote, coming through despite great difficulties. So good on Tesla on a fantastic Q2. Apple is opening up pre-orders for its Apple Watch series on Friday, this Friday, October 8th. with the devices set to ship on October 15th. Apple first revealed the Watch Series 7 at an event last month, but the company said it would be available later this fall. Pre-orders for the Apple Watch Series will now begin at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern time on this Friday, October 8th. The Apple Watch Series 7 includes a display that goes virtually to the edge of the case with more rounder corners and softer design. The Verge is reporting the Series 7 now comes in 41mm and 45mm sizes, up 1mm from the Series 6. The bezels around the display are just 1.7mm. And the always-on mode is 70% brighter than the Series 6. Apple has also created a variety of new watch faces to take advantage of the larger screens on the Apple Watch Series 7, an improved modular watch face. Lets you view activity reading details alongside the regular complications found on a regular modular watch face. The Apple Watch Series 7 will start at $399 and it will also be sold alongside the Watch Series 3 at $199. If you buy a watch equipped with cellular service, whether through Apple or directly from a carrier, there's also a $100 rebate available after activation with T-Mobile, Sprint, or Verizon. Excuse me. Pre-orders for the Apple Watch Series start again on October 8th, and again, devices will start shipping on October 15th. Other Apple news this week, and this is reporting from reports that have been revealed that a significant percentage of its top app stores were scams. Apple is allowing users to report such behavior. This is coming from The Verge. As part of iOS 15, the latest app store update led to, quote, report a scam or fraud for both free in-app purchases and paid apps, provided you saw the app in question. The feature is being detailed by Costa Eleftheriou, Eleftheriou, and I'm mispronouncing his name, I apologize. And Richard Maskowitz on Twitter is going even farther than a previous, quote, report a problem feature. You can now single a scam or fraud and not just, quote, report subjectivity, report a quality issue, request a refund, or find my contacts before. Previously, you would have needed to make an in-app purchase before you can highlight a scam or fraud, but that's no longer the case. Apple is launching a new gifting feature today that will allow subscribers to its Prime service to send gifts to others using only an email address or phone number, so you don't have to worry about a mailing address. Gift givers have to be Amazon members. The program is limited to continental U.S., and it can only be used on mobile devices for the time being. And even though there is some safeguards by Amazon, the gift giver will never get access to the recipient's mailing address. And also it's been reported that it might sound like a bad idea that is ripe for abuse by scammers, stalkers, and those who take pleasure in the online harassments of others. So there is some concerns for it. It's being reported that, you know, this might not be a great idea, but, you know, tread carefully. So basically, this is how the feature works. Gift giver wants to surprise someone with a present, but doesn't know their mailing address. The gift giver does know either their email address or phone number. Gift giver chooses the gift on his or her Amazon mobile app. Selects the, quote, add gift receipt for easy returns option during checkout, and we'll see an option to, quote, let the recipient provide their address. The giver then adds the recipient's email address, their phone number. At this point, the gift giver's card is in charge, but a hold is put on their payment card for another purchase. The recipient then gets a notice either by text message or email that there is a present from a gift giver waiting for that person. Now, if the recipient doesn't have an Amazon account, they can create one at this point. The recipient has to have an Amazon account to accept a gift, but the giver has to be a Prime member. The recipient can click on the notice from Amazon to reveal what the gift giver sent. Then he or she can decide whether to decline the gift, accept the gift, but convert it to an Amazon gift card. And also the good thing is the gift giver won't be notified, or he or she can just accept the gift. If the recipient accepts the gift, the giver's payment card is charged. If the recipient ignores the gift notification entirely, it expires within a few days, and the gift giver gets his or her money back. The Verge did ask Amazon if there was a mechanism for its members to opt out of this new service. There's not. Amazon is saying that if the recipient doesn't want the gift, they can just decline it or ignore the notification. Not everything Amazon is selling is eligible for the new gifting feature, but, quote, millions of items are. This is also from Amazon saying this. The eligible items include products sold by Amazon and third party on its platforms. Amazon is saying that it'll roll out this feature over the coming weeks. Excuse me, I'm taking another drink. Over on MakeUseOf.com. It has a great article about prepaid or postpaid plans. What is the best for you? Basically, if you want to know the difference, prepaid is a prepaid plan. You buy your minute, your airtime, data, minutes, and bundles. There's also known as pay-you-go plans. So it gives you details about that. Also about postpaid. Basically, a postpaid plan is a contract where you have to have a credit record, good credit, to get a contract. It gives you the option, what's the benefits of prepaid, what's the benefits of postpaid. So it's a good read. You can check it out over in the show notes on geeknewscentral.com for this episode. And finally on this episode, Dr. Tommy Korn recently went viral for showing how he used the new iPhone 13 Pro macro camera capabilities to document the eyes of his patients. In an interview, he explained why he chose to do it this way after using a real camera. He is an ophthalmologist who specializes in cataract and cornea transplant eye surgery, but he's also a self-described camera and photography hobbyist. Who has been a proud owner of full-size cameras and lenses for years. He recently posted a post on LinkedIn that shows him using an iPhone 13 Pro to photograph patients' eyes with its macro camera. That's gotten a lot of attention. The photos were shared by 9to5 Mac and other news outlets and across social media. But he's seeing a lot of comments. Based on the comments that he's been seeing, he says that he believes there's some confusion on why he used a phone in the first place. He said in an interview with Petapixel, quote, there's some confusion on if the camera is going to replace exams or larger cameras. Let's say you have an eye condition or eye problem, you have to see an eye doctor, and you see them 6 months later, and you ask, hey, how does it look compared to last time? Do you think the doctor remembers? They can't remember. They look at notes and verbal descriptions. Dr. Korn says that this is why doctors who want to be conscientious will take photos to monitor progress in addition to copious notes. Some comments in response to his post on LinkedIn have encouraged Dr. Korn to use a higher quality standalone camera so that he can see more detail, but the doctor explains that's not the point of what he's doing. He clarifies that, quote, I'm using it for documentation. I have just enough information to know if it's serious or not. He also says that he's been doing this kind of documentation for some time, but he hasn't always been with a smartphone. For a while, he did use a full-size camera. He said, quote, I want to use a Dicon D800 with a 105mm f2.8 macro lens. I would take pictures of the patient's eye using that camera, and then I would have to take the card out, upload it, and put it to my computer records. There were a lot of friction points. He also explained that as the years progressed, he noticed that he was able to use a different method that reduced the friction and make it easier for him to do his job. He also says, quote, around the release of iPhone 6 Plus, I started tinkering around with an iPhone modified with the adapter on a slit lamp eye camera that's seen in most doctor's offices. Dr. Korn uploaded a video that demonstrates how he used a custom adapter on a slit eye camera in a video he published in early 2021. He also says that he still owns the Nikon D800 and also a Sony Alpha 7 III, but As far as his work as an ophthalmologist is concerned, they are, quote, gathering dust because he's able to provide frictionless care using the iPhone. He's also said, quote, I see a lot of patients. I can't be lugging these cameras around. So I think it's good. I mean, you know, with technology and phones nowadays, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, obviously, he's not using it solely, you know, for patients. I mean, he's using it for other reasons. But, you know, iPhones have come far in their software, their cameras, their technology. So good on him. I think that's pretty cool that he's using other ways to treat his patients and look at eyes. And I saw I will link up in the show notes. You can check out the full article and the photos. It's pretty amazing the photos you've taken on it. So definitely check it out. And again, I'll have a link up in the show notes. And that wraps up the tech news for Monday, October 4th, 2021. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode. If you have a comment on today's episode, suggestions, feedback, I'd love to hear them all. I'm at, my email address is pa@geeknewscentral.com. Or I'm on Twitter. I'm so tongue-tied. I'm also on Twitter at Kirk Corliss, which is spelled KirkCorless. Please be sure, thank you so much to our sponsor, GoDaddy, over on geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Another great way to support the podcast is by geeknewscentral.com/insider. So the best great way to support that, you can go over to geeknewscentral.com/insider. It's a great way to support this podcast. It helps, you know, pays the bills, keeps the lights on, helps me out by paying me for this episode. And it goes a really long way. So, thank you all for supporting the podcast, either as an insider or with our sponsor, GoDaddy. I'll be back for another episode of the Geek News Central podcast this Thursday. Till next time. So long.